Right, morning everyone. Welcome to Reading and to something about the National Trust. This is a new machine. Let's see if I can make it work as well as I want. Hopefully. Well, after an introduction, I'll talk a bit about populations and land ownership. I'll give you the history of the Trust, something about its funding and its workforce, and look at the situation in the 21st century. Now, I think you've done a bit of preparation about the Trust, have you? Yes? You've looked at the website? Yes? Excellent. Good. Okay. This is a rather odd sort of name. Well, national perhaps is clear enough, although the trust that I'm talking about, it relates to England and Wales, so it's and Northern Ireland, not Scotland. There is a separate national trust for Scotland, very similar to the National Trust, founded a few years later. Trust means keeping, looking after for other people, in this case, looking after things for the whole nation. I'll come back to the outline, so if you haven't got it all, there'll be another chance. So what is the National Trust? It's a non-government organisation staffed by paid employees and volunteers. So it's not government. Many people think that it is, especially perhaps because of the name, but it is an independent organisation funded by, if you like, charity donations. I'll come back to that. Now, what's its purpose? Its purpose is the permanent preservation for the benefit of the nation of land of natural beauty and interest, and buildings of historic or architectural importance. What does all that mean? The permanent preservation. So looking after forever. So making sure things are safe, in good condition forever. For the benefit of the nation, for everybody's enjoyment. It says for the benefit of the nation, but you're welcome too. So it's not just for me and other English or Welsh or Northern Irish people, it's actually for everybody. And what are we trying to preserve? What are we trying to look after? We're trying to look after land. Land of natural beauty. So woodland, rivers, mountains, lakes, the seashore, all this natural land, because it's beautiful and or because it's interesting. Now, around the country, there are so-called sites of scientific interest. Perhaps there's one place, one bit of woodland, let's say, where a particular bird lives, and that bird doesn't live anywhere else. Or another place, a meadow, a field, where a particular flower blossoms, and it only flowers there. Or a particular insect lives. So the trust will try to look after that area so that bird or flower or insect won't die out. The trust also looks after buildings of historic or architectural importance or attractiveness. Historic importance, that's famous people lived in the building. So it's interesting to see where a famous person, perhaps a writer, or an artist, or a politician, general of the army or navy, lived. And the building is very interesting in terms of the history of buildings, how it's designed, what it looks like, and perhaps also because of its contents, its furniture, its paintings, and so on. Okay. Now, I'll give you a long one. Just let's look. I've got some of your countries here. not all, as a sort of background to what the National Trust is doing. Now, look, the United Kingdom has, well, approximately 57 million inhabitants. But it's quite a small country. It's quite densely populated, as you're aware, especially in this area. I've got Taiwan, perhaps some of you from there are from there, also a small country. Portugal, Afghanistan, now I think some of you are from Saudi Arabia. A small population. Now, apologies if the figures aren't quite right. You know, if you look at different sources, you get a little bit of difference. But so if we take Saudi Arabia, just after halfway down, by international standards, a small population, but a big country. If we take China, a big population, the biggest, but also a very big country. Okay, that puts Britain in context. Now, do you know who owns the land in your countries? Do you know? Is it all the government or other kinds of people? Let's look at Britain. Who owns Britain? I've got the whole of Britain here, not just England. The figures are about, well, 10 years old. I haven't managed to sort out more recent ones. Foreigners own a lot of this country. So they're the biggest group of people. You can buy land here. You can own a bit of this country if you want to. There's no obstacle to that. Aristocrats, that's nobles, dukes and duchesses. People are very grand, perhaps old families, whose families have got land, say, from the king or the queen centuries ago. They are the next biggest group of owners. Some of them own huge amounts of land, 5,000, 10,000 acres. Acres is the normal unit of measurement. Don't ask me now what it is. You can work it out if you're not sure later. So still, a lot of people from many centuries ago own a lot of land. Then we've got the Forestry Commission. That's a government unit, so it plants forests to get wood. It owns a lot of the country. The National Trust is the fourth biggest owner, so acquiring over 110 years a lot of land. The Ministry of Defence, again the government, owns a lot of land, say for army practice. Water companies have a lot. The Crown Estate, that's now the Queen, so whoever's the monarch has a lot of land. Then the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds, that's an organisation which is committed to ensuring that all the different kinds of birds that live here continue to live here. And then the Church of England owns a lot. Okay, that